Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for revelation knowledge that will be imparted into the people that are listening and that have ears to hear in Jesus' name. We rely on you, Father, and I thank you that insight will be given in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I've been talking for the last month or two about kingdom finances. How to operate in the kingdom of God regarding your finances. And kind of base it on Luke chapter 11 that says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so last week we started looking at how to receive out of this kingdom. And one of the things that I said is you must be in a place that you are hearing the voice of God. But really and truly what it is that God does not want us to be at a place that we are just working to make ends meet. He doesn't want us, it's not his desire for us to be in a place that we don't have enough money to do the things that we want to do. He doesn't want us to be in a place that debt collectors are calling us. And I believe that too many believers are living in that place. He wants us to rise above that, out of the world system, and start operating in his system, and wants to bring us to a place of rest. How many of you would like some rest? Rest. Well, here he says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. And as I'm talking about rest today, I want you to think about every area of your life, because this is not limited to finances. Even though I've been talking about it, I've been talking about finances in the kingdom, some of you may be financially fine. But there's other areas that you need rest in. Maybe your relationships. Maybe your job. Maybe your family. There needs rest, that rest in your life. Maybe you have anxiety. Maybe you have worry. You need rest. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let me give you a background to what he is talking about very quickly. Let's go to chapter 3. And And let's look at verse 16. For some, when they heard, did provoke God, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that we could not, or that they could not enter in to the rest of God because of unbelief. So let me give you a quick background. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness. As they went up to the promised land, to this land of rest, to this land flowing with milk and honey, you know, houses and fruit, and all of these wonderful, wonderful promises, as they went up there, they sent 12 spies into the promised land. They came back. Out of the 12, 10 said, there's giants in the land. We can't do it. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, oh, we are more than able. Let's go up and take the land at once. They both saw the same thing in the natural, but they saw things differently in the spiritual. One believed what God said. The other did not believe what God said. And as a result, those that did not believe, everybody went with the majority. Everybody went with the majority. That's going to tell you something. The majority is not always right. As a matter of fact, most of the time, the majority is wrong. when it comes to the things of God. Why? Because the Bible says that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And so many times we have a tendency to go the way of the world because that's what everybody else is doing, when God wants to take us above what everybody else is doing. And to go above what everybody else is doing, that means that we've got to do things differently than what everybody else is doing. If you're going to keep doing what the crowd is doing, you're going to keep having the same results that the crowd is having. We're going to have to step out and be different. So the majority went with the 10 spies. And so they all died in the wilderness and never made it to the promised land of God. This is the context. This is what he's talking about. Now, let's look at chapter 4 again, verse 1, so that you understand the background. For unto us, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, talking about the children of Israel. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They just didn't believe it. They didn't believe. Say they did not believe. Okay. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. So now he's taking us back to the beginning of creation. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. I got to lay a foundation so that you can see how this applies. Hallelujah. Actually, these scriptures that I'm going through, particularly in Hebrews, I had trouble most of my life understanding what it meant. What does it mean to enter into God's rest? Is that some future event? Is it something that belongs to us now? And if it does, what does it even mean? I'm going to answer those questions this morning. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host on them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. Verse 3, God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his works which God created and made. So this is what he's referring to when he says that God rested. Say, God rested. God rested. Now, the one thing I want you to understand, I'm going to take a little rabbit trail just to help you for a moment. We know in the law that God blessed the Sabbath day, the seventh day, and said that that man should not work. But then we know that Jesus, as he was going through the fields one day, that as the disciples were going through this cornfield, they started picking corn, they started eating. And the religious people of that day got all upset because they broke the law. And they actually picked some corn on a day that they're not supposed to work. And Jesus made this statement. The Sabbath day was not made, man wasn't made for the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was made for man. Now, there's a principle there that we Americans sometimes don't get. And that is, we need to rest. Now, I'm not talking spiritually for a moment. Forget the kingdom of God. I'm talking about your physical body. There is a law in place. You don't need to work 7 days a week. You don't need to work 17, 18, 20 hours a day to try to make ends meet. You need to rest. But Pastor, if I don't go to work, how am I going to pay my bills? Let me ask you a question. I want to make sure that I phrase it right so that you get this. Are your bills paid And are your needs supplied based on how much you work during the week? If they are, then you are limited in what you're going to be able to do, and you'll never step into living as a child of the Most High God, because He has made you a son and He has given you the kingdom. You are an heir of God. God is able to do more for you when you trust Him and say, I'm going to rest because that is what God has designed for me. I'm not going to work all the time to try to make everything happen. If you'll just rest and trust Him, then He'll cause the extra finances to come in. But if we feel like that we can't afford to rest because of the bills that are due, because of what we have to do, then we've never gotten over to a place of faith and trusting in God. We need to make sure that our lifestyle reflects what we believe instead of making exceptions because of the need. Can I say that again? You need to make sure that your lifestyle reflects what you believe instead of making exceptions because of your need. Because when you make exceptions, you compromise. And when you compromise, you stop the move of God in your life and His ability to work on your behalf. So God rested from His work on the seventh day. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. You have to understand the different scriptures that the writer of Hebrews is pulling together, because he's creating this concept for a believer that very few people have really understood and really seen. So he says in verse 4, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, God did rest the seventh day from all of His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached, talking about the children of Israel, did not enter in because of unbelief. They didn't enter into their rest. Again, he limited, or he talked about a certain day, saying in David. Now, this is Psalm 95. If you're kind of taking notes, he is quoting Psalm 95. David said, today, after so long a time, today, somebody say today. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, that's King James Version for Joshua. He's talking about Joshua back in the Old Testament. If you have a different translation, it'll say Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, he's the one that led them into the promised land. If Joshua had given them rest, then would God not have afterwards spoken of another day? So therefore, or there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. So he's just made the scriptural argument so that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a rest that God had promised for later on down the road, past the children of Israel. That's what this whole point is. So you got to understand that first. He says, so there remains a rest to the people of God. Now, what is he talking about? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And look at verse 10. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, or for a signal to the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his what? And his rest shall be glorious. So here's the promise. At some future event, rest is coming. Rest is coming. I tell you what, y'all are so quiet, I think you're all resting right now. Why do I even need to preach it? Y'all got this down pat, it seems. Well, I'm going to keep preaching it because what the Lord said to talk about. Rest is coming. Now, look at Matthew chapter 11. Oh, my goodness. I said rest is coming. Wake up. Rest is coming. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. So there was a prophecy in Isaiah. We just read it. About his rest shall be glorious. It's not that he just wants us to rest. The rest that we're going to enter into shall be glorious. That's the kind of rest I want. Come unto me, Jesus said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I want you to look at this phrase for a minute. Learn of me. Learn of me. Don't forget that. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I was at a meeting one time, and this minister got up, and he started, and it was big. I mean, it was a group of ministers. I mean, it was probably 1,000 ministers at this place. And this very popular minister got up, and he started saying, he said, you know, he said, I don't know who lied to me. I don't know who told me that serving God was easy. He said, because in my experience, serving God is hard. It's not easy. You go through hard times when you're serving God. And he was preaching it. I mean, he was preaching it. Well, after him, Fred Price was slated to get up and share. I don't mind telling you who the other minister was. His name's Carlton Pearson. Well, Carlton Pearson now believes that everybody is saved and you don't have to, you know, confess Jesus, and that the whole world, it don't matter if you're Muslim or whatever, you're saved. You're going to heaven. So, I mean, he took whatever the hard times he went through and he just kept on going. But this was before he went that direction. And so he's ministering and saying these things. Well, Fred Price gets up after him. He says, and you know, by the time Carlton's already sat down, right? He said, he went right over to him and said, Carlton, he said, you said you don't know who lied to you, who told you that serving God was easy? He said, I can tell you who said it. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Everybody in there was like going, ooh. But the Bible says, speak the truth in love. Now, some of us would have said, well, he just missed it, but I'm not going to say anything about it because, you know, I don't want to offend him. Well, what's better? Speak the truth for the thousands that's there or offend the one? Speak the truth in love. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm giving you some scriptures so that you see where the foundation is, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you don't want to allow somebody to bring some other doctrine to you that's not founded on the word of God, but yet sounds good. You need to know what the word says. So I'm showing you what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get across to you so that you can have an easy life and live in rest. Back in Hebrews chapter 4. verse 9, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He said, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. Now, that word labor doesn't mean work. That word labor, if you look it up in the Greek, actually means let's be energetic. Let's let our aim. Let's be excited to and eager. That's the word. Let's be eager to enter into that rest. Let's do everything that we can to enter into the rest that God has given us. Okay. Now, I've just read through these scriptures, so let me back up for just a moment. So, back in verse 6, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, he said, today, I'm just going to paraphrase, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Verse 4, he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. God created the world in 6 days. Every day, at the end of the day, it says, he saw what he did and it was good. He saw what he did and it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. And then on the sixth day, he saw all of creation and it was very good. And then he rested and he stopped creating. Because everything was put into motion that was needed for man. Man was put into the Garden of Eden. Everything was supplied for him. Everything that man needed, the universe now operates based on what Jesus or what God did 6,000 years ago when he created this world. He put it into operation and it's never stopped. And do you know that for the most part, the air that we breathe, the rising of the sun, the going down of the sun, seeing the stars at night, watching trees grow, getting fruit from those trees, planting your garden, whatever it is that you do, all of that we enjoy because of what God did 6,000 years ago. You don't really realize it, but you are already enjoying the rest that God has. We're enjoying the finished work of his rest. Amen. We experience these things because of what he did. Now, how does this relate to the kingdom of God? There's another rest that remains for the people of God, and it's the rest that is provided by Jesus Christ. Jesus came to do a work. He came that he might destroy the works of the devil in our life. That's very clear. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to this earth to undo the curse in our life. He became a curse for us so that we wouldn't have to be cursed. We don't have to live under the world's control. We don't have to live under Satan's control. We don't have to live under the curse anymore. He came to do a job. And when he was on the cross, he said something that reverberates out throughout history. He said two words or three words. It is finished. He finished his work. And then when he ascended to heaven, the Bible says he sat down. Why did Jesus sit down? Because what? Because he was finished. He's finished. His work was finished. So we sat down by his Father God at the right hand, right? What's our part in this? How do we enter into the finished work of Christ? What did he say making sure that I lay this out so that you get this. What did he say regarding the children of Israel? Why were they not able to go into the promised land? Because they did not believe. Now, what is the difference between believing and faith? Let me ask you that question. What is the difference between believing and faith? We see both of those words used as we're talking about this, right? What is faith and what is believing? Very simple. Faith is a noun. It is a thing. It is an object. Believing is a verb. So believing really is just faith in action. Okay? So it's not that they're two separate things. It's the way that it works. You can talk about faith all you want, but until faith becomes believing in action, you're not going to enter into what God wants you to enter into. Faith people have a tendency to talk about faith, 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 but they really don't talk about what they believe. How can I explain this? The children of Israel, as they're going through the wilderness, they keep hearing from Moses about the promised land. Oh, they keep hearing about, oh, hallelujah. I can't stay still. Hold on. They keep hearing about this land flowing with milk and honey. They keep hearing about all this prosperity. They keep hearing about everything that God's giving them. He's already prepared it for them. I mean, and their whole time, millions of people, they're hearing about this. Millions of people hear, I mean, and they, guess what? They think that they believe it. Now you listen. They're agreeing with everything that they heard. They're excited about what's going to happen for them. As a matter of fact, you know, they're probably having, you know, these really great meetings just saying, amen, I believe it, I'm ready, the whole time. As they're going to temple or to tabernacle or whatever it was that they did in the wilderness. And they're hearing about the good things that God has for them. They're like every other Christian that's sitting in church today, and they're agreeing with everything that's being preached from the pulpit. And then they get right up there to the fulfillment of the promise. And when it came right down to it, they did not believe. They thought they believed, but they did not. And I'm going to tell you that that's happening in a lot of believers' lives today. We agree with the wonderful messages that are being preached from the pulpit, but yet we're still experiencing defeat in our lives. It's not a problem with what the preacher is preaching. It's a problem with our believing. We're agreeing, but we're not really believing. Yep, y'all still arresting, I can tell. I'm not interested in preaching a message that people go out and they say, this is a great message that I agree with. I'm not interested in that. And that's why sometimes some of the things that I say can tend to be a little bit hard. But the reason I say them is because what God has called me to do is to have fruit where people are going out and actually entering into the things of God and not just sitting there agreeing that someday they're going to enter into the things of God. And I'm telling you, we're seeing this happen. Since I've been ministering on this finances in the kingdom, different people have been telling me about how things have increased in their life. businesses have increased. Sales have increased. Somebody was telling me that normally that his business comes from a group of people that as a result of the way that they give him his business, he has to do it for half the cost that he normally would instead of doing it for retail to individuals. For the last month, that's only happened once. All of his other increase of work has been retail work. So it's nothing but God. And in general, that does not happen. So it's God. I got to bring this to a close. What do we do? How do we enter into this rest? Here's the key. Verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today. Today, somebody say today.
Today.
If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Let me say that again. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Remember I said, remember that phrase that Jesus said? Take my yoke upon. And he said, what was that phrase I wanted y'all to focus on? Learn of me. Turn with me over to Isaiah. Chapter 48, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, which teaches you to what? I am the Lord your God, which teaches you to profit, which leads you by the way that you should go. Now, there's all kinds of business courses out there. You can find the infomercial that's going to tell you how to invest in real estate and you're going to make millions of dollars, or how to invest here, or how to do this, or, you know, whatever it is. There's all kinds of courses to teach you how to profit. Personally, I would like to learn from the one who created everything anyway. I imagine that God has some insight that probably these real estate guys don't know. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Learn from me. Learn from me. Learn from me. Hebrews chapter 4. Today, if you will hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice. Learn from me. Would you go get Olivia, please? Learn from me. How do I enter into rest? Number one, I recognize that I'm entering into the finished work of Jesus. I believe what Jesus has done for me. I need to know what he's done for me. I need to know that my sins have been forgiven. I need to know that my healing's been taken care of. I need to know that my finances are taken care of. I need to know that these are the things that he's done. I can't believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ if I don't know what those things are. So I need to know that first. And then I've got to believe. Now, how do I actively believe something? I've got to learn to hear the voice of God. Because what God has designed for a New Testament believer is not that we're living by rules and regulations found in the Bible. Although it's important for us to know what the Word of God says, because the Holy Spirit will confirm that. But more importantly, we've got to be to a place that we're hearing His voice and that we're obeying what He tells us to do. See, the real difference between those who will enter into rest, those who have financial success, are those who won't just agree with what they hear, but what they'll do is they'll take a step and they'll believe what God has told them to do. There was a time in my life that when I was working here at the church could not afford to pay me. Now, I could have, at that moment, I could have decided to go bankrupt. Things were very difficult on us, but I believed God. And God told me to step out and to open my own business. Now, what if I said, I've never done anything like that before? But God said, do it. So I obeyed. And immediately, out of my obedience, business came to me. I didn't advertise. Word of mouth got around. God supernaturally hooked me up with a company in New Jersey that decided that they wanted to open up their first branch out of state in Irondale, Alabama. They needed some guy just to kind of help them set up their computers to begin with. Just a one-time job. The guys came back to me months later and said, I want you to take care of all of my stuff up in New Jersey as well. Who does that? God does. He calls me 2 weeks ago and says, I just moved to Boca Raton, Florida. I'm building a whole new house. I want to fly you down to handle all the computer stuff and everything. That's going to be pretty nice. Who does that? What if I said, no, I got to stay right where I'm at? What if I did not believe what God had told me to do? Believing is stepping out and doing something that you're not comfortable with, but you're obeying what God says. That's where the place of blessing is. That's where the kingdom of God is manifested in your life, is in your obedience to listening to His voice. Now, let me leave you with this to get ready for next week. There's more to be said about entering into rest. See, once you get to that place, you stop worrying. You stop trying to do it yourself. You know that God's taking care of you. Once you do that, hallelujah. I'm going to leave you with a thought. Sometimes we have worked so hard, even as Christians, to do things a certain way because that's what we've been taught, that we've allowed or we've caused living by faith to become a system of works. As an example, here's just a thought that I'm going to explain next week. You like that, Jeff? Yeah, it's called a cliffhanger. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Everybody knows what the answer to that question was. He said, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. Now, we've talked about sowing and reaping and those kinds of things. But can I tell you that him giving to the poor, that the rich young ruler, the Bible says, had a lot of money, had a lot of possessions. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been called the rich young ruler. He would have been called the young ruler. So Jesus said, sell all you have, give to the poor. Now, Jesus wasn't trying to make the rich young ruler poor. That wasn't it at all. He was trying to get him over into the kingdom of God. But what I want you to see is that the rich young ruler did not need to sow that to receive a harvest. He didn't need a harvest. He had plenty of money. So why did Jesus tell him to go and give to the poor? There's some things that we've thought about and we've just assumed that maybe God's about to do some changing in our life that we've... I got to stop. Listen. Enter into His rest. Stop trying to do everything. Make a decision. God said, I need to rest. I'm going to rest. By not resting, I'm going back to working for just a moment. I've just got to do what the Holy Spirit says for just a moment. By working so much and so much and so much that you will not take time to rest, you are saying by your very actions, I really don't believe. And it's going to keep you out of his promises of financial blessing. And it's going to keep you out of his promises of everything being okay. Amen?
Amen.
You receive that this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah.